Accession number 28679, Mr. Albert Earle, Reel 2. Now, we were talking about your time when you were sent to the Royal Fusiliers part of the Infantry Training Centre at Brentford in February 42. Now, what was your accommodation like? You know, what was it an old-fashioned barracks, or was it huts? Or what sort of room or type of room were you in, or it tents, was, or what?
Nissen huts. And I think there were about 30 in a Nissen hut. We had iron beds with a mattress on, which was fairly luxurious.
So one piece mattress, not the three piece biscuit mattress.
Biscuits, yeah.
Oh, it was biscuits. The biscuits.
Yes.
And what was it? I mean, it's February. Was it a heated room? Was there a stove in there?
There was a stove, but it was one of those round coal fire stoves with a chimney going through the roof, and. One pleased oneself if it was lit or not. I mean, it was if somebody volunteered to light it, then we had a warm room, but if they didn't, it was cold. And we all went out to the we had a canteen, a Salvation Army canteen.
I'll come back to that.
All
now,
right.
What about if we look at a typical day's training? I don't mm-hmm. know how long were you there for?
12 weeks.
So from February to Mayish.
Something like that, yes.
Now, during a typical day, how would your day start? You know, what time would you get up in the morning?
I think Reveille was at 6, and we would have to rush off to the wash house. There weren't any. A shower or a bath was a separate thing, so it was just a case of wash and shave, and it was always, far too many people for far too few basins, so it was a queuing up job, and then you'd rush back and get yourself dressed and go off for breakfast, and then come back and lay out your kit, fold the blankets, and
now was there a special way your kit had to be laid out?
Yeah, absolutely. The blankets had to be folded in a special way. I think we had three blankets. Two were folded, and the third one was wrapped round, all neat and tidy. And then your equipment had to be spread over the top of the blankets. Spare boots in front of the bed. I think it was kit bag laid across the back, and the valise tidy, and they had to be spot on. They got inspected every day, and you'd be in trouble if it wasn't right.
I'll come back to perhaps cleaning your kit a bit later, but that. So after you'd laid out your kit, what then in the morning?
The first thing was PT, as far as we were concerned, anyway.
Before breakfast?
After breakfast. No. Breakfast first, lay out your kit, and then PT.
Well, let's look at the food generally, because I know you don't remember a lot about the food, except your first meal. Was the food as bad as your first meal? What did you think of the food generally?
There wasn't a lot of it. There wasn't much of it. Obviously, there was enough. But I think throughout the army, the general ration was, apart from the main meal, you'd get a slice and a half of bread for tea, and jam or margarine or something like that. Sometimes a bit of cheese. But
what about your main meals, breakfast?
Main meal. Breakfast was, the powdered egg stodged up. Occasionally fish, which was Icelandic dried cod, which was pretty awful because it wasn't cooked, it was just prepared, so it was pretty awful. And lunches, well, we used to have a lot of bully beef and what we called McConaughey's, which was a tinned stew You know about it, probably. It was meat and vegetables, but I don't know why it had a funny taste to it, because in those days, I suppose, tin food wasn't as good as it is now. But that was one of the regular things. Potatoes, that's about all I can remember, really.
But not enough of it. No. And not too nice as well. No. So you were generally unhappy with the food.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Now, so breakfast, lay out your kit, then PT. Now, let's talk about physical training generally. What types of physical training were you on?
It was terrible. They had physical instructors, and I think they'd from various parts of the army, but they weren't fit for some reason. I think that's why they were there, and they were absolutely awful. They were bullies and bears, and the first thing we had to do was run round the gym, and they delighted in bellowing at everybody and making you go faster and faster. And the physical training was very hard. We used to have those logs that we had to pick up in a team and manipulate them over our heads and things like that, and lots of exercises, and having just come straight from Civvy Street, it was all very hard, and we all got very stiff, and anyway, it was dreadful.
Did it improve your fitness? I mean, did
work? Oh, it did work, yes. There were some guys, I was fairly fit, but there were some guys who weren't fit at all, and to begin with, they were dragging themselves round, but by the end of 12 weeks they were all quite fit.
Were there cross-country runs or route marches?
Yes, cross-country runs and route marches. The route marches started off fairly short, but gradually increased. I can't remember the how much route marching we did at the training centre, but eventually one had what they called forced march, where you had to do 5 miles in 50 minutes and start off with light kit and finish up with battle dress and carrying a rifle.
And how did you find that?
Hard. I mean, I could do it all right, but lots of guys used to fall out and suffer. But in the main, we all used to survive.
Now, what are the training? So you have your PT. What are the training? I mean, what about drill? Perhaps we talk about drill next.
Drill.
We had drill sessions in the morning.
Oh, rather, yes, on the barrack square. Drill.
Now, how did you take to drill? You'd done it a bit with the boys' brigade, but it is different from the army.
Mm.
There's a different element of discipline, I presume. What did you think of drill, and how did you take to it?
Well, I didn't mind it. I've got a certain attitude towards military. To try and explain things like a tattoo and the parades in London, it gives me a thrill. So I didn't mind the drill, because you can see a reason for it. It's a discipline, and it's good when you see a squad drilling properly, marching, and as we had to do, rifle drill, sloping arms and all that kind of thing. Practicing guard mounting. That's a thing in the, as you know, from the guards in London. Guard mounting is a thing, and you have to do it correctly, and if you don't, you're getting what we call jankers.
So you didn't object to this? You could see the point in drill?
Yes, yes.
Were you a natural at it? No left. I mean, you didn't have any problems yourself with
that? No, I didn't. No.
Now, what about weapons training? You know, I don't know how far they took you through a weapons training course there.
Rifle training and brain gun training.
Well, let's
look
at rifle first. That would be the Lee Enfield short magazine.
Yes.
How did they train you in that? What was it? I mean, how seriously did they train you in it?
Very seriously.
How did they do it?
You learn to load the rifle, obviously, first. Operate it, you know, they're bolt-operated rifles, and you had to practice and practice and practice so that you could do that absolutely first class. Everybody had to be able to do that. You had to be able to hold the thing properly. You had to be able to fall down on the ground and with your legs apart and your hands out in a correct fashion, and be able to look down the sights and know what you were doing. And then you had to learn to clean the things, and then we would go on to...
Now, how did you clean them? Sorry, I mean, you know...
You had what we called a pull-through, which was a lump of string with a weight on the end, and we'd put little bits of, like, lint in a loop at the end called 4x2 and drag it through the rifle. After you'd been firing, if you know, your barrel would be sooted up after firing, so you'd have a wire gauze which you pulled through and you boiled them out. You pulled boiling water through them and cleaned them up, and then you'd have a parade where your rifle would be inspected, and if it wasn't actually shining down the barrel, you'd be in trouble and.
But still using the old thumb method of checking it with a nail.
Yes.
So that's cleaning it. Now, what about, so you're practicing aiming, dropping into position. What about when you actually got on the range? Would you get some range work there?
Yes, we did, yes. We used to go to a place called Purbrook. No, I think I'm wrong there. Anyway, in Essex it was. And we'd... you'd fire at a target, a standing target, and then a moving target, somebody in the bats waving a target across, and you had to get it while it was visible. Apart from having to march there, which was quite a distance, and march back again, it was quite good, as long as it wasn't too cold.
Now, what sort of shot were you? Did you have any trouble with shooting?
No, none at all, no. I was quite good at it.
What do you think made you good at it? Eyesight, coordination, what was it?
Eyesight and steadiness is all you need, really.
And you had that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you pass as a marksman, or just...
No, we weren't judged by that. As long as we could hit the target, that was good enough.
Now, what about the Bren gun?
Yes, the Bren gun is slightly different. It's more complicated. You have to be able to strip the machine down and clean it, and you had what we called an IA, an immediate action thing, where that the instructor would shout that the gun stopped firing, and you had to go through an immediate action thing, clear it, and if that didn't stop it, you'd have to take the barrel off and check it, put it back. And they're gas-operated machine guns, and... As the bullet goes out, it sends an amount of gas back through a different tube, which reloads the next round. Well, sometimes that would stick, and you'd have to change the amount of gas going through. But, I mean, that was an exercise that we had to do day after day, machine gun practice. And
what was it like to fire? I mean, what did you think of the Bren gun as a weapon?
It was okay. It wasn't too spiteful.
You mean
on your shoulder? It had a fair kick, but not as much as a rifle.
Accuracy?
Yes, very accurate. Mm-hmm. We used the same range for up to 600 yards.
Now, what about other weapons? I wondered whether you had the Sten at all, or the Sterling, any of the submachine guns.
Yeah, we did. We had the Thompson machine gun. We learnt, and the Sten gun came later.
After this course.
Way after, years
now,
after.
What about the Thompson? What did you think of that?
It was very good, but not as accurate. Being a short-barreled machine gun, it wasn't as accurate, and it was more of a hip-firing gun.
Any other weapons? One of you probably is bayonet training. How far did you go with? But what do you remember of bayonet training?
Well, we used to have to do our bayonet training, rushing up and piercing a sack on a frame, and shouting your head off at the same time. Not an enjoyable part of the training.
Why not? I mean, what did you find objectionable about it?
Well, just the thought that you might be pushing your bayonet into somebody real.
How did you feel? I mean, all the shouting and screaming, did you mind having to do that? Or did you understand why they wanted you to do it?
Well, yes. You just trying to be as frightening as possible. And
hand grenades?
Yes, Mills grenade.
Now, how did you do your training with that?
We had a kind of a bank, and we'd stand behind the bank, throw the grain at, obviously you change, you pull the pin out and you hold it, and then you throw it, and then get down behind the bank, and that's all there is to it, really.
Did it make you nervy the first few times you did it?
I don't think so. No, I don't think we worried about it.
Any other weapons? The PX wasn't there then, was it?
Yes, it was. We never fired it. I don't think I ever fired a PX. But they were around.
Did they demonstrate them?
Yes.
What did you think of them?
Well, a clumsy sort of thing. I don't know whether they worked, whether they did the job. I mean, they were supposed to put tanks out of action, but I don't think so. I don't think we had them in on active service, actually.
Were you introduced to the 2-inch mortar, or the 3-inch, but normally it's 2-inch?
2-inch, yes. We had a 2-inch mortar to each section, each infantry section.
But at training?
We used them, yes.
And what were they like? How did you actually fire them? People often don't talk about them much, but it's quite an important weapon. Do you remember?
We used to... All it is is a pipe, a 2-inch pipe, about 18 inches long, with a firing pin in the bottom. You turn a little handle and it quick clicks and shoots the firing pin up. So you put a bomb in it, aim it, and turn the knob, and it fires. You've got to the training on that, of course, is the range and trajectory to get your onto the target.
When you actually did fire them.
If we did fire them, yeah, it's quite interesting actually, because. You've got to learn something to get it right, to judge the distance. So
it's a sort of knack you have to get.
Mm.
Now, any other weapons?
An anti-tank rifle, which was really obsolete.
Is that the boys' anti-tank rifle?
That's right, yes.
Now, you say it was obsolescent, it probably was as well. But what did you think of it as a weapon?
Well, as far as firing at tanks were concerned, it was a toy. Can't imagine it doing much damage at all, really.
Did you actually get to fire them?
I don't think so. I can't really remember. I know we had to learn to use them, but I can't remember firing them.
Now, any other weapons?
No.
Now, what other types of training might you do in your day? I mean, that's quite a full day we're looking at already. anything else you were learning?
Field firing, which meant going out into the country and being told that, you know, that building over there is occupied by the enemy, you know, and you've got to attack it. And
in reality, shoot at it or make mock attacks?
Mock attacks.
Field exercises?
Yes, yes.
And what were they like? How realistic would you say they were at the time?
Well, they were quite realistic and very tiring. Are we still talking about the first 12 weeks?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, we didn't go very far for those, so it was... It wasn't too bad. We just it was more or less all theory. We didn't do very much actual work.
Now, anything else you had to do? Did you actually have to do guard duties?
We did. Yes.
What was that like? And did they have a stick man?
Yeah, pretty awful. You had to parade and quite an elaborate parade to. An inspection, and then march off to the guard room, and then take your turns.
What did the guard actually do? I know it sounds a daft question, but
just stand at the gate with your rifle, and stand at ease, and then come to attention, and slope arms, and walk up and down occasionally. That kind of thing.
You find it dull?
Very dull, very boring, but you had to, you never knew when someone might be coming along to check up on you and see that you were doing what you were supposed to be doing and not, you know, lounging around.
Now, what about preparing your kit for kit inspection? I don't mean the laying out. We've covered that, and I'm sure that is how it was inspected. Mm. What about actually, what level of what they used to call bull or bullshit or whatever, you know, spit and polish? Did they? Mm. The sort of polishing boots.
Oh, yes. Well, it was quite strange, really. I mean, our working boots we had to dub in to keep them waterproof. But we used to try and keep a best pair of boots and polish them, because although you were supposed to have dubbing boots, if you had highly polished boots on parade, you got for instance on church parade, they'd have more men than they needed, and the smartest ones would be let off. So. Used to be a competition of polishing your boots.
Are there any specific methods? They talk about spit and polish.
Spit and polish, yes.
What was that? Because they don't use that method now. I mean, what is spit and polish?
Well, you put the polish on the boot and you spit on it and keep rubbing it and until you get a layer, and it's just like patent leather. I mean, the guards still do it, don't they? And
did you throw yourself into this? I mean, did you try your best to get your...
Well, we had to. There was no choice, really, because you were in trouble if you were slovenly.
What about polishing buttons, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Polished buttons, cap badges, buttons. They were all brass, so you had to polish them. All the webbing had to be blankoed.
Now, they definitely don't know what blanco is now. I mean, even I didn't know what it was until until I found this job. What is blankoing?
Well, it's... Well, if you wanted things white, you'd have chalk, something like chalk, and you'd have a brush and you'd wet it and you'd rub it on that and put it on your shoes. Well, blankoing for equipment was the same thing, only it was khaki. So you had a block of this stuff and you painted your equipment with it.
And what about drying it? Did you have special drying rooms, or was it just
hung up? No, just in your back room.
And were what were the kit inspections like? How rigorous? I mean, were they reasonable, or were they totally unreasonable? Or what?
Well, you had to be as good as perfect. They'd, they'd be inspected thoroughly, and
would they tip your bed up and things like that if they weren't happy with the kit?
No, they weren't as bad as that, but they would if they thought that you'd got something that you kept specially for inspection, they would do something about that so that spoil it so that you couldn't do it. So there was nothing like that. You couldn't have spare things for inspection purposes.
Did the room have to be spotless as well?
Yes. Had to be swept and no.
Now, how did you get on with your fellow other ranks, your fellow, recruits? I mean, because you were quite a shy lad from, at least in part, although you'd been working by then for a while, so probably not quite too... How did you get on with them, and was there any bullying? What did you think of them?
No, it was all right. We were all too busy, really, to... the training was pretty serious, and...
Were they from the same sort of background as yourself, or very different backgrounds?
Just an absolute mixture. A lot of cockneys.
But no bullying?
No.
Did you make friends?
Yes.
Any close friends, or was
not close friends, because you all drift apart. You know, they don't last. The friends change because the groups of you change as you move around. You go to different units, and so it doesn't last long. So,
now what about the instructors? You mentioned the PT instructors were awful, but what were the instructors like generally?
They were pretty strict.
In what way? I mean, were they fair?
Yeah, I think they were fair. I suppose they did tend to pick on some people, but there was usually a reason for them. If anyone was slovenly, then they'd get picked on. But
how would they be picked on? What would they do to them?
Give them fatigue if they got half a chance, if they found a reason.
They didn't pick on you, though?
No.
And what about officers? Did you see much of your officers, or are they sort of very much in the background?
They were in the background. I can't remember any officers in the... training centre.
Now, you're doing these training sessions all day. What would you do in the evening? You'd probably prepare for kit inspections and things as well.
Yeah.
When you did have spare time, what were you allowed to do?
Well, we were allowed to go into the into Brentford, the town. There was a cinema there, and there was a canteen. I mean, that was the entertainment as far as it went. You know, sometimes there would be an answer concert or something in the barracks. As I said before, there was a Salvation Army canteen. You go in there for a cup of tea and a cake, but that's about all there was to.
And to what about buy. Was there a naffy canteen, or with games and things?
I suppose there was a naffy at the training centre, but I don't remember it, because if there was, it was away from us in the main barracks. We were out in Nissenhuts.